New Galaxy Broadcasting proudly presents Integrative Hermetic Health with Hugo Rodier, MD. In this program, we explore a powerful new paradigm for health from the standpoint of integrative medicine. In his practice, Dr. Rodier integrates the ancient Hermetic art and the enduring role of food as medicine with modern nutrition, but also allowing for the wide range of important health practices, including truly valuable medical discoveries, chiropractic, acupuncture, homeopathic and herbal medicine. In this program, Hugo Rodier, an expert in intestinal health and nutrition, will help the audience discover an approach that focuses on actual cures, not the masking of the elegant simplicity of many health solutions for the sake of profit. Profit too long has been an overriding motive of the pharmaceutical companies, and sometimes, sadly, by many in the medical establishment today. We're back with our second show on Medicare for All. Good morning, Dr. Rodier.
Good morning, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Before we start, I'm going to play a cut from the Kyle Kulinski Show, discussing a recent poll on the popularity of Medicare for All.
New poll out on Medicare for All, and we can't stop winning. We're winning so much, it's making my head spin. So this is a poll of medical professionals from Medscape, and here's what they found. 69% of nurses support Medicare for All, 66% of physicians support Medicare for All, and 68% of administrators, and Jeff Stein put some question marks there, support it, because I think administrators, they might suffer some job losses if we go to a Medicare for All system. So it's kind of amazing that these numbers are what they are. Now, I also happen to have some personal experience on this front, because a friend of mine is a doctor, and he was telling me that in terms of the paperwork, it is maddening. Honestly, on that alone, that's probably one of the reasons why most doctors support it, because it is a pain in the ass to deal with insurance, to deal with for-profit insurance companies and what they cover and what they don't cover and all that garbage. And but when you deal with Medicare or Medicaid, easiest thing in the world. Easiest thing in the world. One, two, three, paperwork done. So it simplifies everything on top of basically almost cutting the costs in half and covering everybody. Remember, right now in the country, 29 million people are uninsured, and anywhere from 32,000 to 45,000 people die every year because they don't have access to basic health care. But there you have it. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say about this. It's so unanimous now, and it doesn't matter how much propaganda they throw at it, it's not working anymore. For a long time it worked, now it's not working, and you partly have this guy to thank for it, because he's the one who really brought Medicare for All to the forefront, where he made the argument so well, where he told the American people, hey listen, we're the only country that doesn't do a single payer system, we're the only developed country that doesn't do it. So what is it about us where Australia can do it, Sweden can do it, Norway can do it, UK can do it, France can do it? All these places could do it. We can't do it? I don't believe that. I think it's because of the greed of the for-profit health insurance companies. And it's because our system is backwards and prioritizes profit and our drug prices are through the roof because of big pharma and the lobbying and the corruption and all that stuff. So he made the arguments and everybody was like, you know what? That guy's right. And the polls massively changed, man. So now you have 70% of the country overall supports Medicare for All. Even a majority of Republicans support Medicare for All. Republicans! So we're getting close to universal background check levels here, because that's the standard bearer of overwhelming poll numbers. There was one poll that found 93% of Americans believe in universal background checks for gun purchases with no exceptions. We're getting close to that level with Medicare for All. So doesn't matter how much propaganda they throw at it now, cat's out of the bag and it ain't going back in. So go ahead. Hit us with your best shot, because it ain't going to work. If anything, the polls are going to go more and more in the direction of Medicare for All. Everybody has discovered the truth of the situation, so now it's just time to fight and get it implemented. And that is going to require us, unfortunately, to get super involved and force our politicians to do the right thing, because they ain't going to do it willingly. The system is too broken. There's too much corruption. Leadership of the Democratic Party is the worst. So we're going to have to drag them to the right position and make sure they don't deny us what we know we deserve.
You know, as we move forward on this program, again, for Medicare for All, I came to realize something rather significant, at least to me. It relates to our discussion of the changes needed to transform, I believe, and of course you believe definitely, in a more educated way, that we have a rather ineffective medical system corrupted by its overuse of somewhat dangerous pharmaceuticals that mask symptoms but do not affect real cures, the overuse of specialists in the medical field whose recommendations often do not embrace the safer, more productive solutions often offered by nutrition or by relevant factors outside their specialty, and the topic we most discuss, the importance of nutrition in solving so many of our medical problems that people are treated with in oblique, non-effective, and even destructive ways. Further than that, there is the problem with environmental degradation, which poisons the air and water, and all kinds of problems with the soil affected by its contamination with various chemical substances and its often lack of enrichment by various means to maintain its vitality, mineral, and organic content sufficient to provide a good foundation for healthy plant growth. Then there's the problem of genetic tampering with the plants and with their seeds. And further, and even sadder, is the possibility that many types of effective treatments may have been suppressed by the medical community and government. All this and more leads me to the conclusion that the need to overhaul the health system is much bigger and even more needed, maybe, than Medicare for All. Why? Well, although I'm totally in favor of such a plan, even if it is a medical plan accessible to all formulations, as we discussed, in other words, people don't have to use it, but it's accessible to them if they want it. The reality is that the changes needed to be made in our healthcare system would substantially reduce medical costs on an unneeded surgery and the use of pharmaceutical drugs that do not get at the roots of the real physiological problems behind so many health conditions. In other words, it's going to be cheaper. Is that correct? I mean, exactly. maybe much cheaper. You were talking, I want you to give me the percentage. How much is really useful in what's done in the medical field, percentage-wise?
Great question. And for that, all we need to do is go to the journal Business Week, May 29th, 2006, the cover issue. A surgeon writes the article. A surgeon turned statistician, or I should say he was educated in statistics, and you know that opens up a can of worms as far as what numbers can be massaged to say, but
yeah,
not having an axe to grind, this good surgeon documents that 80% of what's going on in the medical profession and the healthcare field is not necessary, but driven by profits. Now, this is Journal Business Week, May 29th, 2006. Anybody can look it up. In fact, it shows a good doctor on the cover standing in front of a roulette. And so you get the picture, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's not alone. You've heard of the journal Science. It happens to be the very best scientific journal, not medical journal, in the world. So the cover issue, September 21st last year, Science Under Scrutiny, Meta Researchers Study How Research is Done and Why It Goes Wrong. Yeah, that's a cover issue. But that's just not the only one, because the very same journal, Journal Science, on July 6th of last year, the cover issue shows a capsule, like a drug capsule being opened, and now pours money, and there's a bunch of researchers racing to get the money coming out of the capsule. The title of the article, Hidden Conflicts, Investigative Report, How Pharma Money Could Bias FDA Drug Approvals. Well, blow me over with a feather.
Yeah, that's I'm going to be careful of opening these capsules from now on in case I get too rich.
Right. So we've known this for quite a while. This is why the United States outspends just about every other country, well, all other countries, I should say, high-income countries, double. We spend double per year per person what other industrialized countries spend per patient per year, and they rank a lot higher, right, top five, whereas we rank below 50. And so, you know, that is why my contention is that to talk about financing the system is foolish, because we're trying to finance a broken system. So if I'm going to spend my good money on a system, I want it fixed before I spend money, or else and just throw money away.
Well, I think we need to spend money on this Medicare for All, though, because...
So 80% is a figure.
I understand the 80%, and I agree with the 80% is probably true, as far as I know. But the thing is, these people who are... There are so many people who are uninsured in this country, and these people are programmed to look at drugs and pharmaceuticals. Many of these people are programmed, right? I mean, so the need to change, to have health reform, is going to need an understanding by many more people than exists right now.
Exactly. This is why we talked before about this, Johnny, that we're looking at the problem of health care in a bubble. What we need to do is look at the whole financial, economic, political problem as a whole in our country. It all boils down to this unrestrained capitalism with no social responsibility.
Yes.
So what we're seeing in healthcare is just a reflection of what's going on in the country as a whole with every other industry, the auto industry, the lawyer industry, the
oil industry,
everything,
communications exactly.
industry. Everything.
But if you want to look at something that most people are concerned about, even though those other things are sometimes more important, it is the health care. And so many people are uninsured. And if they're uninsured, there are things that they need from a doctor that don't necessarily fit into what we disagree with. It's just that I hate to say it, but I mean, I realize that if we deliver Medicare for All, yes, we will improve some people's desires to get help, and some help will be provided that wasn't there before, but it's not good.
Exactly my point.
So the only ultimately, right, the only way to tackle this is legislation. I mean, ultimately. But in order to get the legislation, it seems to me, and I want to hear your opinion about this, we need to create a massive educational program on many
exactly.
different levels, a movement that would influence people to favor this overhaul and to elect people who understand it. Because people like, I don't know, like, I'm not going to say that I can give you all the better names, but say someone like Mercola, who's very famous in the holistic field. I mean, these people are probably kind of lobbying those things. They're lobbying for them, but they're not effective. They're all fragmented. All over the holistic and integrative health field. And so what we need is a movement, a powerful media movement that will address things on all levels, including,
exactly.
you know, webinars and in-person interviews on major media, if we can get it, if not more programs online and all kinds of nonprofit campaigns, you know, PSAs. And it's going to be hard to do.
Exactly.
But if we don't do it, we're going to keep on going in this direction, which is really terrible.
Right. It's just wasting money. So let me quote from this article. British Medical Journal, 2014, page 7516. British Medical Journal. They know what they're talking about. How 21st century capitalism is failing us. Now, this is a medical journal speaking. And it opens up saying it requires a thoroughgoing democratic transformation. And that's what you're talking about.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Let me give you a story here, a true story, so that I get the point across better. 20, 30 years ago, I began to work with the Utah Medical Association as the chairman of the Environmental Committee, a thankless job that nobody wanted to take. So they came out recruiting me because they had heard that I was making noise about environmental issues, and I was the only one out there. I had the audacity back then, Johnny,
yeah,
30 years ago, to say that air pollution was killing us. And, I mean, talk about Kermit the Frog being, it's tough to be green. I was considered a burnt-out hippie for saying that air pollution is killing us.
And this was in Salt Lake City, right?
In Salt Lake City, which is one top five most polluted cities in the United States.
I understand now that it is number one.
Exactly. Well, it comes and goes, you know, just depending on what...
Smog clears for a little bit
right.
and another city
and
takes
the mining,
over.
Yeah, the mining in Nevada and the magnesium company, Wasatch, except around here. Anyway, the point being that I was getting nowhere, but my approach was to educate people, to go to the newspapers and TV and educate people. And I felt that that was the real way to go. I knew it would take years. I'm kind of Chinese about these things, you know. I'm totally willing to wait because it has to be a grassroots movement to really take hold. Okay, so I'm tacking along. Nobody's listening to me, not the UMA, not the newspapers, not the TV, nobody. But I figured, you know, I'm planting seeds. And now comes this guy, an anesthesia specialist, guns blazing that he's going to sue everybody because his brother just died of a cancer. And all the TV starts to flock because he's making a lot of noise, very aggressive, very in-your-face type of approach. And then people start to make a little more noise. But you know what? That movement went nowhere either. What really did it is Moms for Clean Air and another little groups that began to pick up these seeds. So it didn't become the movement of cleaning up our air. It did not become rooted, didn't take root until people got it. It wasn't about me nor the anesthesia man. It was about people finally being educated step by step. And now it's a huge movement. The governor in Utah just voted $20 million to clean up our air.
Yay, that's great. It's my air too, because the pollution filters over here in American Fork from Salt Lake City. Yeah.
So I spit in the bucket, but that's how movements happen. And you know how I caught on to this? As a young kid reading War and Peace by Tolstoy. You know, that book is not about what you think, but it's about how people, the Russian people, was really wagging the dog, if you get my drift. Because we start thinking that generals and the president and the emperor, they created the movement. No, it's always grassroots people, and it takes time to mature. So what you said at the beginning, I totally wholeheartedly believe in. It's education, one step at a time. So Johnny, this is the bottom line here. If we have this system now broken and all, it's a system we deserve because we have not bothered to educate ourselves. And so instead of rolling over or come out guns blazing, I think little by little we need to educate people. And so I'm totally willing to wait. I'm totally willing to compromise like we talked before. That is Medicare available to all. And that's a step in the right direction. That's the $20 million that the governor signed to improve our air, if you will.
Well, I agree that that's really the best we can do now. But I want to go on. I want to go a little further and sort of recapitulate what you said on a sort of a statewide enterprise to what's going on now. And I'm saying the effort that we need to make about the promulgation of an understanding of what we need for health reform has to go much further than the current push by progressive politicians for a for a Medicare for All bill, because many of these people who are running don't accept, know, or even vaguely favor these kind of changes. For instance, in all the myriad of progressive candidates in the Democratic Party who favor Medicare, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Medicare for All, remotely, are placing these kinds of changes. They're not doing anything to place these kind of changes in any of their discussions. Is that correct? I've never heard any of them talk about it.
Exactly.
I mean, they'll say, let's buy stuff from Canada, you know. Okay, yeah. Let's buy the poison from Canada.
Those are Band-Aid solutions. Let me quote from that British Medical Journal a little bit more if I can.
Okay.
Quote, but if our future lies in maximizing well-being rather than economic activity, we will be aided by what might be called a convenient truth. Rather than benefiting from further economic growth, health and happiness in rich countries is now better served by improvements in the quality of social relations and community life. It looks as if greater equality would reduce consumerism and improve the social environment. It should not be beyond the wit of modern societies to ensure the production is undertaken in the service of the public good, humanity, and the planet. The obstacle is that large corporations are so powerful that our democratically elected politicians are afraid to touch them and far too afraid to start thinking about alternatives, quote unquote.
Well, you know, we're going to have to take a break now, but I want to just say one more thing that's, you know, in my own little way, that the people out there who want Medicare for all are mostly demanding that they can afford the pharmaceutical specialists and unneeded surgery that they don't even realize endanger their lives as well as their pocketbook.
Exactly.
We'll take a break now, and we'll be right back. This is Johnny Bluestar, CEO of New Galaxy Enterprises, a media content development company. The original productions by Amazon, Hulu, and Netflix in particular has opened up a new and powerful form of television that has both global income and still unexplored profit potential as convergence between offline and online media continues to blossom. We can help persons needing creative help to turn their ideas for television pilots into actionable, marketable scripts. There's probably nothing more exciting in the field of entertainment than these new vistas online as that capacity crosses more and more to the big screen. And the opportunities for instantaneous online projections of any type of media in that perennially popular venue. To learn more about New Galaxy, see samples of our work, or talk to us about your project, please go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com and fill out the contact form. Patriots Act is a Brent Marks legal thriller written by Kenneth Ede, a novelist and attorney, often appearing on Threshold Radio. It's about Ahmed, a naturalized U.S. citizen formerly of Iraq, who is sent to Guantanamo Bay detention camp with no real knowledge of a crime he has committed. Brent Marks, a California attorney, is originally hired by Ahmed's wife to fight for his release. The novel opens with a convincing mock execution, a mode of torture meant to break down a prisoner in a brutal and traumatic way that foreshadows Ahmed's actual death in the hands of his accusers.
Ahmed felt the butt of the rifle strike his spine as his knees buckled and he hit the floor.
Move faster, Haji. Up against the wall. Stop there. Good. Listen up. My name is Sergeant Brown. You're here because you refused to cooperate in the interrogations. The decision has been made to execute you by firing squad.
Wait, I'm an American citizen.
Ahmed felt the black bag rip from his head and for the first time faced his aggressors. He found himself facing a man in camouflage fatigues, holding an M16 to his chest. Beside him, an 8-man firing squad with their rifles in ready position.
I have the right to talk to an attorney. This is all a big mistake.
Brown fastened a leather strap around Ahmed's waist, pinning his spine to a wooden post.
Yeah, a big mistake. You should have cooperated when we asked you about your superiors in Al-Qaeda.
I don't know anyone in Al-Qaeda.
Do you have any last statement, Haji?
But I...
I repeat, do you have any last statement?
I'm not a terrorist. I'm an American citizen. I've a right to a lawyer and a trial. You've denied me these rights. You will answer to God for your crimes.
I think you can see who has all the rights here. Ready? Aim!
The 8 pointed their rifles at Ahmed. Shivering uncontrollably, Ahmed's knees gave way, and he hung on the post like a man crucified.
Fire!
The deafening explosion of the 8 rifles was the last thing Ahmed heard. He felt the bullets hit his flesh, and his body crumpled forward, hanging lifelessly from the post like a scarecrow.
In this show, we will be playing some songs from the fabulously talented UK singer-songwriter Stephanie Slevin. Our first selection is called Gifted, which, as you will see, is a tribute to a great blues songwriter. Stephanie Slevin in this song pays tribute to Robert Johnson in a song called Gifted.
They say you're gifted. You must have got your gifts from the devil. Your lyrics uplifted because they're on the new level. Look to the left, look to the right. There's a devil on my shoulder, or is he hiding from sight? This lifted. You must have made a pact with the devil. Your lyrics uplifted. Could I not have got them from heaven? What's wrong with you? Can't you see? My gifts are from God, for He believes in me.
Back with Dr. Hugo Rodier, MD, on the Integrative Hermetic Health Show, and we're discussing about Medicare for All and some of the problems with our current medical system. And of course, a lot of this, there is a financial component, and maybe we could discuss this a bit more.
Yes, I want to quote from that article I brought up from the British Medical Journal, Austerity Can Seriously Damage Your Health. Specifically, this paragraph alludes to what you mentioned before, that a whole lot of people are getting in debt and their credit is shot. They're in debt so deeply. And so this paragraph proves your point. Quote, "The elephant in the room is that U.S. healthcare costs are crushing the larger economy, not because the clinical science demands it, but because corporations and other interest groups have captured both the healthcare marketplace and the regulatory environment that oversees it," unquote. Translation, most people get in debt because they choose to pay the exorbitant premiums that insurance companies demand, and then they go without enough money to buy food or pay the rent, so they have to get loans or get in debt or use their credit cards, et cetera, et cetera. The number one cause of bankruptcy in the United States is healthcare costs. And it's so sad, and this is the crux of the matter, because the insurance company's overhead paying for a bloated system is like 30%, all right? Whereas Medicare, the overhead is 5%. Right there, you have a whole lot of savings. So when we get into the nitty-gritty of the bills that Democrats, for the most part, will be looking at as far as Medicare for All, we've got to keep in mind that we don't want to finance the system as it is. The system has to be reformed so that we cover the 10% of the things, excuse me, the 90% of things that influence your health, and then cut back on the 10% that the healthcare system offers, because most of it is bloated.
Well, let's go look at some of the provisions of this new House bill. And it's been developed by Representative Pramila Jayapal and Representative Debbie Dingell of Michigan. Jayapal is a Democrat from Washington. And this is the Medicare for All Act of 2019. And it kind of is a little bit different than Bernie Sanders' original Medicare proposal, which we opened the program with. But one of the things about it is that a lot of people there are so many people running in the Democratic Party now that they're all looking at something like Medicare for All, and they're all kind of trying, I think, to fight about things to get in the forefront of their party. And that's a little bit of a shame there, because we really need a more unified front if we're going to get this thing done. What do you think?
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Well, let's go. I'm reading an article that was part of it. It's called There's a New Medicare for All Bill in the House. Why Does It Matter? By Shefali Luthra. And it's a pretty interesting article. She says that under this plan, patients would not be responsible for any cost sharing of medical expenses, and the government coverage would include hospitals, doctors, preventive care, prescription meds, and dental and vision care. Private insurance would not be allowed to sell plans that compete with the government. Now, they can sell plans. They can do some stuff privately, but they're not allowed to compete with the government. What do you think of that?
I think that there should be competition. What do you think?
Well, the thing is, you know, the public option type of thing, right? You're talking about the public option where there's an option to participate. I guess it depends on the situation. I think that the medical community combined with the pharmaceutical community and the insurance community is so corrupt.
Yes.
If this thing is fixed properly, then maybe it would be a good thing to have an overall plan like this. But if it's not fixed properly, it's going to be more of the same for both, except one will be more expensive, I would imagine.
And, yeah, that's true.
But I think the corruption in the insurance companies, in the medical community, and the pharmaceutical community is so great that I'm inclined to a more comprehensive form of governmental control if we can solve the problems. And again, you know, you look at the different countries, and I have some, you know, feedback about England, which, you know, is pretty bad feedback. But, you know, when you look at Canada, I've heard some really good things about the Canadian experience with universal health care. So it really depends on this country isn't really set up really greatly for being not corrupted if this happens, right?
Right. So that's why I believe that anybody who wants to stay with the system we have now, paying high premiums and getting very little in return as far as nutrition, prevention, and all that, should be free to do so. Look, we already have the similar system in education. Okay, we have public schools and private schools.
Yeah.
And I believe that's a step in the right direction to force people, millionaires and the 1%ers and the 5%ers, whatever the numbers are, into having nothing but Medicare, I don't think will work. In fact, we see that in Canada. A whole lot of rich people in Canada don't
come
want
here. To they come do here.
Exactly. They come here.
Yeah.
And that is used by a whole lot of right-wing people to say the Canadian system is failing. No, it's not. Canadian system has problems. And if you have money, you don't have to be in it. So I think it's more viable, more passable if we were to provide an alternative to the system now and not eliminate the system. If they want to stay corrupt, be my guest. Look, public and private education, you know that both have problems, right?
Yeah, but private education is often better than public education, I think. I'm not sure, but I think so.
Well, But there are cases where public educated kids do quite well because they put their minds to it to get the best they can out of that system. And then there's a whole lot of kids going to private schools who are total losers. And so it's not so much a system, but the how we use the system. And so I don't think it's going to pass to totally eliminate the bloated corporate health insurances overnight.
Yeah, I kind of see your point. I'd have to think about it more. But I do see your point. What bothers me is that you have such a corrupt system, and they're going to always be biting at your heels if you have public health care. They're going to want to destroy
it. Absolutely.
And that will make it more difficult to preserve it.
Look, I just decided to copy this whole article, Austerity Can Seriously Damage Your Health.
Yeah.
Again, came out in the British Medical Journal 2013, and do it as my blog of the week. And just have people read it, because it's exactly what you're saying. It's totally corrupt, and the system just doesn't want to go share the marble. You know, they're not going to – all these people who have bought it, invested in it, they're not going to want to overnight let go of this cash cow.
No, they won't. As a matter of fact, our whole political system, the whole corrupt political system is buoyed up by this money thing.
Exactly.
And yet there are people elected to Congress now who are not really partaking of that money system deliberately.
Yeah.
But they're not that many of them.
but listen, Johnny, if you want to eliminate all this overnight, what you're talking about is a revolution, and get Mr. Guillotine to come out, roll out the guillotine out of mothballs. That's what it would almost lead to, if not assuredly. So that is why I think the best solution is to come up with a Medicare system that's available
to everybody,
and then,
but not before some.
Yeah, and then you see what happens. And I bet you money, a whole lot of those people wasting their money on the high premium system that we have now will start to go to Medicare for all, available for all. So I would put that word in there, Medicare available for all.
Well, you're definitely influencing my thinking. So I know you may feel that's unbelievable, but it is.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. So another difference between the Sanders bill is that the House medical version is going to cover long-term care, that is for people with disabilities and the elderly. So that's also a real difficult expense, right? But it's very important. I want to just mention something, or I ask you a question. A lot of the healthcare bankruptcy situation, doesn't it happen towards the end of somebody's life?
Exactly. A whole lot of healthcare costs happen when grandma starts to dwindle, and then unwise family members will take grandma to every specialist in town, first, second, and third opinion even. And then that specialist is forced, well, I'm sure a whole lot of them do them willingly, to run all kinds of tests, prescribe useless medication that with a whole lot of side effects. Grandma doesn't get any better, and then she dies within 6 months. And you spent how much money with that? I mean, it's totally unwise. So our first premise, our first shot when we started the program, that this is a moral, social issue, bereft of maturity, you know, that's what's going on. That's what fuels that overspending at the end of our lives, because we don't understand humanity.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing, another part of this bill. It wants to demand that government be able to negotiate directly with manufacturers and take away and reissue drug patents if the efforts falter. This idea is called, I'm quoting, compulsory licensing has appeared in drug pricing bills, but not in other Medicare for all legislation. Do you know what? Here, you can jump my case on this one. I really think we should take away the patents on medical drugs. We should make it more like, okay, so they'll make their money in their market, but not necessarily by creating drugs that we don't need. and not because it's the, you know, the, some company goes into the rainforest and they find a nice herb that some shaman tells them does certain really great things for arthritis, and then they synthesize this thing. And it doesn't necessarily work the same way. It might cause a lot of side effects, but it might have a little bit of scientific verification of something, and then they charge a fortune for it.
Yes, I agree with that. Totally. You know, great books have been written about a society keeping no secrets, totally open. But a lot of people would oppose this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Including the patent thing.
So oh, yeah, the patent thing would completely change the whole structure of pharmaceutical drugs, because now, what happens is that it slides into the marketing aspect of how you make money.
Exactly. So I think a more realistic proviso would be to shorten the patent, a step in the right direction. Right now, it's, I believe, 17 years.
And a fortune.
Yeah. So we could shorten that as a step in the right direction, but to totally eliminate it, well, good luck with that, because Big Pharma has powerful allies, as you mentioned.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, it's like, yeah, you almost need to have a, I mean, we have now somebody in charge who just wants to remove all the regulations and create all kinds of, you know, trauma for people financially by taking their money away and giving tax breaks to the rich and, you know, all these things that are, and destroying the environment, which won't help people's health at all. It's just an incredible situation, and yet the people who are trying to attack it, they probably have a majority, but they don't have a whole lot of majority, you know what I mean? I mean, Trump did not win because of the popular vote. He won because of the Electoral College. So it's a real tenuous effort here, in a way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So these are amazing times, and I suppose every generation says that, but it's like the good fathers of our nation have said, you know, democracy is something that you have to earn every day, and it's a battle.
Well, I think what we have to do is we have to really focus on that one point. We have to find a way to quickly and more dramatically inform our citizens about what's going on and break down these sort of cultural, political barriers in some way. I'm not sure how, but I do think it's probably the property of media, the responsibility of media. Alternative media is becoming stronger, no doubt about that. But whether it's strong enough to really change this problem, I'm not sure. But but we're trying, right, aren't we?
Yes, you are, you know, for sure. You know, trying to get this radio show going, and you deserve a lot of credit for that. You know, you're not staying home watching TV all the time. You're actively working, and there are many other people doing this. And I think it will slowly, it's chipping away. I'm very Chinese about these things. You know, we talked about this. You know, I'm content with things moving in the right direction.
Well, the way I see it, I just wonder if what the Chinese attitude is towards nuclear winter.
Well, they got their nukes for sure.
Nuclear winter, currency collapse, extraordinary changes in the climate that are very dangerous, and also a military system that is constantly trying to exploit and conquer people by killing vast numbers of them.
Yes, that's a...
But I think we should sit back and relax and and just wait for one of those things to happen, because some of them are happening and some of them will continue to happen.
Yes.
I saw the studio that I was in, BBS studio, completely destroyed by fire, including their homes and their cars. It's thankfully been restored. But, I mean, that's the kind of strange things that can happen nowadays. And who knows what's really behind those fires either. So, anyway, I'm sorry. I had to defend my activism.
No, no, I like your activism. That was my point. You know, that more people like you will start to affect change.
Well, I would like to continue this evaluation of these different bills in another program. Is that possible?
Sure.
So let's plan on this for later on. and we'll come back to it. And thanks a lot for discussing this with me. I consider it so important.
Well, it is. It is. Thanks for spending the time and having me on the show.
Well, we'll see you later.
All right.
My company, New Galaxy Enterprises, is a California corporation specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio, musical scores for advertising, television, or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you.
If you're not fond of books, you may be interested in watching Dr. Rodier's slide presentation on his website, hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. It lasts 48 minutes and explains the simple roots of all diseases with pictures and graphs that are easy to understand. The presentation includes basic principles of physics, philosophy, anthropology, and history to truly integrate the most vital pillars of human health. Now here's a great, curious, but profound song by Stephanie Slevin called What Comes Around.
You say what goes around comes right back around, but that's not true for me. They say what goes around comes right back around, and that it comes in threes. Please bring me rest, bring me some peace, please knock on my door. And I promise I'll ask for nothing forever, evermore. Rise up from the darkness and step into the light. Close your eyes, embrace, you feel tomorrow.
hope, in fact, what comes around will be a great health system and the restoration of American democracy. We'll say goodbye and go out with a song by Stephanie Slevin that has had some extraordinary success around the world. I Know I Love You the Most.
For more information about Dr. Rodier's practice, books, blogs, and newsletters, contact Hugo Rodier, MD, at www.hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com. This song by Stephanie Slevin has got a lot of listeners throughout the world. It's called I Know You Love Me the Most, and it's a fun song.
I may have marmalade on my toast, and you may have your caviar. I may walk to work in my second-hand shoes, and you drive in your fancy car. I'm down here and you're up there, you're giving me the looks like you don't care. But they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. I know by the way you stare at me that deep down inside you care for me. You may drink champagne to my cup of tea, but nobody freaking cares. And you say I ain't the one for you, that I'm way down there beneath the view. But look at what your poor sheik's done to you, and nobody freaking cares. She took your money and laughed at you, and then slept with all your mates and they were laughing too. So let's kick her to the curb, yeah, me and you, for nobody freaking cares. And I know you said that things of me, but deep down inside you care for me. For they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. You took to your drink and your one night stand, so please don't judge me by your own bad hand. Yeah, stand up straight, just be the man, for nobody freaking cares. And come down off your mighty horse and take a chance on me, and we'll run the course, and we'll show the bitch we don't do divorce, for nobody freaking cares. And I know you said bad things of me, but deep down inside you care for me. For they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. Yes, I know that you love me the most. I may have marmalade on my toast, and you may have your caviar. I may walk to work in my second-hand shoes, and you drive in your fancy car. I'm down here and you're up there, you're giving me the looks like you don't care. But they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. I know by the way you stare at me that deep down inside you care for me. You may drink champagne to my cup of tea, but nobody freaking cares. And you say I ain't the one for you, that I'm way down there beneath the view. But look at what your poor sheik's done to you, and nobody freaking cares. She took your money and laughed at you, and then slept with all your mates and they were laughing too. So let's kick her to the curb, yeah, me and you, for nobody freaking cares. And I know you said bad things of me, but deep down inside you care for me. For they say love and hate are so very close, so I know that you love me the most. You took to your drink and your one night stand, so please don't judge me by your own bad hand. Yeah, stand up straight, just be the man, for nobody freaking cares. And come down off your mighty horse and take a chance on me, and we'll run.